We're mindful of Colossians 3 and verse 16 that says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Commanded there how we should sing, and mindful of 1 Corinthians that teaches us in chapter 12 to sing with the spirit and the understanding. It is a joy that we can understand what we are singing. We teach, we instruct one another. There was the story told of the gentleman in his middle ages, about in the 30s during the time of the Depression. He was in the area where he grew up and he wanted to go back and see his boyhood home. And when he got there, he was very disappointed. What he remembered as a very nice, pristine, taken care of home had been falling in for some time. Things had grown up around it. It was really now just a shack about to fall down. He saw that and he was very disappointed because what he remembered was something of beauty that was special to his childhood. He took a piece of paper and a pencil, and looking upon that, he penned the following words sometime after that: "Earth holds no treasures, but perish with using, however precious they be. Yet there's a country to which I am going. Heaven holds all to me." That middle-aged man, actually about halfway through his life at that time, he did not know that, was Brother Tillard S. Tedley, who lived to be 102 years of age. But yet, think about how that hymn came forth, biblically based and written properly. What about the song we just finished singing moments ago, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less"? Do you ever wonder when you sing something, what does something mean in that song? You know, I would sing that song so many times. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." What in the world is a sweetest frame? Have you ever wondered that? Now remember, we need to sing with the spirit and the understanding. I decided to research that, thought that must be an older term that we don't use, and it is a definition of to have recourse to oneself, or in other words, I dare not trust myself, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to make an assumption here that the writer of the hymn found that old terminology, sweetest frame, to rhyme properly within the hymn. But now I understand it. I dare not trust myself. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I'm not going to trust myself, but I'm going to wholly lean on Jesus' name. Friends, tonight, let's think about some other phrases in that song. "Every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil." It takes us back to Hebrews 6:19 of the anchor of the soul. "The whelming flood," we talked about that this morning when we studied concerning the wise man and the foolish man, how, according to Luke's account, the stream would take out the house and how the rains came and the floods rose. And then, "all around my soul gives way." Now, he's not saying all around my soul gives way or gives up. No, he's reminding us, when all around our souls, when all around us gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. It's a hymn that says, much like the first hymn as we began tonight, we don't trust in the things of the world, we don't trust in ourselves, but we trust in our obedience unto God and is him on whom we rely. Friends, tonight I want to spend a few moments talking about Christ and being on Christ, the solid rock. Pretty much, I'm just going to take the hymn, "Our Hope is Built on Nothing Less," and I'm going to preach a hymn tonight. The reason I like to do this on a Sunday evening is because on Sunday evenings, you find the core of the congregation together. Now, there are exceptions. We understand that there are folks that to make it out this morning, health-wise, is about the best they can give. We also understand individuals, maybe with other things that have come their way, that they'd be here if they had control or things come up. And we also realize there are individuals who just for some reason do not want to return. And that's been my way, that's been that way rather all my life, and the only thing you can do is talk, shepherd, pray, and encourage. May I pause and commend you for something here at Leone, because I'm going to tell you, I don't find it anywhere else. That you have a period of worship on Sunday evening, then afterward, a period of Bible study. What a wonderful way to spend the evening. I know of no other congregation that does that. But yet, what a great opportunity to encourage and to grow in Christ Jesus. When you and I think about a time as this, and here we are as Christians, and we are faced with a lot of challenges in life. It's often been said that either we are coming out of a problem, or we're dealing with a problem, or we're heading into a problem. Now, do you ever feel that way? I do. It seems like that once you get something taken care of, something else comes up. I know of individuals, and it's tragic, that they have to take some type of medicine, which affects the medicine they've been taking, which when they make that adjustment, then it affects something else. It's a constant challenge. Families, we are either in something, we're coming out of something, or we're about to enter into something. There are things all around our soul, the things give way. The storms arise, the whelming flood. As a matter of fact, as Matt just read moments ago from 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 through 10, he reminds us of God who has allowed the hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. He says, let the excellence of God, His power, be on us and not of us. Then he comments exactly what I've been talking about. We're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. God is there for us. God will help us. What will keep you and I from sinking sand? When we stand solidly on the rock, Jesus Christ. You know, the armor of God in Ephesians 6, verses 11 through 14. Actually, you go through verse 18 of the armor of God, the preparation through prayer as well. When you and I look at that text, you find over and over, he tells them to stand. Stand, therefore. When you stand in the evil day, having done all, to stand, stand, stand. 1 Corinthians 16:13, stand fast in the faith. And when you notice the armor of the Christian, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that when you parallel a Roman soldier who had those studs within his shoes, that he would stand his ground, and being down in the ground with those studded shoes, it was hard for him to be knocked off his base. He could stand firm and stand solid. The parallel for us as children of God, the gospel gives us somewhere wherein to stand. Paul told the church at Corinth, you stand in the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1-2. We take that stand, and we're able to stand and face the challenges that are there. So tonight, friends, let's think about standing on Christ, the solid rock, and what is available to us when we face those times of challenges in life. First of all, on Christ, the solid rock, there is hope. My hope is built on nothing less. My hope is on the foundation. 1 Peter 1 verse 21, our faith and hope might be in God. Faith, our hope might be in God. Hope is that desire plus expectation. To the Christian, hope is a way of life. and it is the way to live. We have a hope in Christ. Paul in Romans 8:4 says, for we are saved, right in there to the Christian now, we are saved by hope. But hope that is not seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? In Hebrews 6 and verse 11, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Hope in Jesus Christ, not hope in ourselves, because all else is sinking sand. When we place hope within ourselves, we are going to sink. We are going to fall. But hope in Christ and not in self. Hope in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When an individual believes in Jesus Christ, they believe in His Word, they believe in His teaching, they believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, John 8:24 and Matthew 16 and verse 16. When we believe in Christ, we're going to believe in His teaching, we're going to believe in His words. When Jesus taught in Luke 13, verse 3, nay, I tell you, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We believe in the words of Christ. Then I am going to believe and you are going to believe that repentance is a great word. Repentance is a sweet word that says no matter how you're living or how you're walking, you can change your direction. You change your decision. You change your direction. You turn unto God. Isn't it amazing that the word also means to change your hearts? And when they were pricked in their heart in Acts 2 and verse 37 and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? The first word out of Peter's mouth was, repent or change your heart. Your heart has been stricken. You feel guilty. Change your heart. Repentance. Repentance preached on Mars Hill in Acts 17 verses 30 and 31. Amongst all that idolatry, the times of this ignorance God winked at, Paul said, but now commands men everywhere to repent. Beautiful word, strong word. Then we confess our faith in Jesus Christ of the confession similar to that of the eunuch. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Have we been placed in Christ yet? Not according to the Scripture. If you research how to get into Jesus Christ, you are into Jesus Christ when you are baptized into Jesus Christ. Romans 6, 3 through 6. We are baptized into Jesus Christ, Galatians 3, verse 27, and we put on Christ. So if an individual has not obeyed the gospel of Christ based upon his or her faith, a repentant heart, a confession mouth, and to be baptized into Christ, that individual is not in Christ. If we're not in Christ, then we're out of Christ, and that, my friend, is sinking sand. And that's not where we want to be. Because in Christ, on Christ, the solid rock, there is hope. Number two, on Christ, the solid rock, there is blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. There is the blood of Christ, for in Him we have redemption. Through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, Ephesians 1, 7. Allow Peter to speak in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 when he tells the Christian, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver or gold, from your aimless conduct or your conversation, your wicked conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. That's what redeems us, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Dear friends, redemption through the blood of Christ. Revival, keeping us alive through His blood as we walk in the light, as He is in the light. Having fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John 1 and verse 7. When we're redeemed through the blood of Christ in obedience to His will, we are on the solid rock. Anything else is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. May I share with you number three. On Christ, the solid rock, there is righteousness. There is righteousness. Friends, we want to make certain that we walk in righteousness and not in wrongousness. Now somebody's going to say, Brother Archie, wrongousness is not a word, but it is now. Cannon County approved. It is, if you will, a word. We want to stand in righteousness, not wrongousness. We don't want to stand in that which is wrong. I want you to look with me at Romans chapter 3. Would you go with me to verse 21? Paul explains the righteousness of which we should stand therein. As you turn there, let's be reminded of Romans 1, 16 and 17. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, therein where, Paul? In the gospel. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. For as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Righteousness within the gospel. Now Romans 3 verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law, that being the law of Moses, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Where's the redemption, friends? In Christ Jesus. When are we justified freely by His grace? When we are redeemed, and that redemption is in Christ Jesus. Verse 25, whom God set forth as a propitiation or a buyback, a purchase by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. Because in His forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. The power of standing on the solid rock, Jesus Christ, there is righteousness. It is His righteousness. His righteousness on which we stand. And we want to make certain that when we're on the solid rock, there is righteousness. Righteousness within the gospel. Righteousness not of our own. Righteousness not of our thinking. Righteousness of I'll make my own plan, but righteousness of God through His plan and His teaching. Number four, on Christ the solid rock, friends, there is authority. You can guarantee it. That when we look, for example, this morning, the Sermon on the Mount, as we came near the end of that wonderful sermon and is read in our presence, when Jesus finished those sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine. Why? For He taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. He spoke as one authoritative to where we could say you could bank on it. You can guarantee it. And when He speaks with authority, then we know the words of Christ of which we follow. The words that redeem us will keep us redeemed within righteousness that is in Christ. In John 12:48, Jesus reminds us, he that rejects me and receives not my words has one that will judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. Jesus went on to say, for I have not spoken of myself, but of the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever therefore I speak, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. The words of Jesus Christ, the teaching of Christ that we have before us, The teaching of Christ, of which Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:37, the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. The inspiration of writers who penned the holy words of God, to where we know that Jesus, with His authority as the head of His church, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And to God be the glory that He is the head of His church. If someone were to ask you, where is the earthly head of the churches of Christ? You can honestly say He does not exist on earth. He is on the right hand of the Father. Have you ever stopped to think that we could put our faith and trust in the head of the church who was resurrected from the grave? And if you do research throughout the denominational world and men that began movements, they're still buried and their graves are still intact. But the head, Jesus Christ, is on the right hand of the Father. He makes intercession for His children. Hebrews 7, 25 and 26. And to God be the glory. I mentioned Colossians 3, 16 moments ago. Let's apply here Colossians 3 and verse 17. That whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Yes, friends, all else is sinking sand. When we began to quote more from men than we do from God, all else is sinking sand. When we start relying upon this world and the worldly governments to deliver us, all else is sinking sand. That's exactly what it is. And therefore, on Christ the solid rock, there is His authority. Again, friends, we're simply going through, looking at the hymn, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. We're preaching the hymn. Let's continue. On Christ the solid rock, there is grace. There is nothing wrong preaching of God's grace. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. We are saved by the grace of God, but may we learn about the grace of God. How about Titus 2, verse 11? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. What does the grace of God do? Brings salvation. It's appeared unto all men, teaching us that. Oh, wait a minute. So God's grace is a teaching grace. Yes, God's grace teaches us. God's grace brought us salvation, brings us salvation, and it has appeared unto all men, and it teaches us what to do. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. God's grace brings salvation, of which we obey. God's grace brings us instruction of what to deny and how not to live. And God's grace brings us instruction on how to live. When the Apostle Paul was suffering with his thorn in the flesh, what was he told? You know, he prayed, whatever it was, he prayed that it would be taken from him. He prayed three times till finally the Lord said, My grace is sufficient for you, for My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And you can see Paul's attitude change. Most gladly, therefore, I will rejoice in that suffering or that weakness. Paul came to the conclusion, when I am weak, then I am strong. Friends, that reminds us sometimes in our prayers. God will provide unto us the answers, maybe not the answer we need, but the answer of which, or the answer we want rather, but rather the answer that we need. Think about it. When do we bring ourselves, when in need, to pray unto God? When we're suffering, when we're hurting, when there's something that we need. At that point in our lives, friends, we have no answer. You know, we've tried to fix it all on our own, and we start praying about it. And God provides us the answer that we need. I'm reminded of a beloved brother once whose, his mother was suffering with cancer. She was a faithful Christian woman. And he looked at me and he said, "Jeff, I prayed for Mom to get better." She passed away. He said, "Jeff, I prayed for Mom to get better." And you know what? She did. I thought, that's rather interesting. You know, that's a, you know, maybe not physically, but when the child of God passes from this life, we are better. Folks, I have to admit, I cringe sometimes when somebody who is not a Christian and they're suffering from a physical illness and they're near death's door and they don't make a decision to obey the gospel and they pass from this life and folks look and say, "Oh my, they're better off." No, they're not. It would have been better to have suffered physically on this earth than to enter into eternity unprepared. God's grace instructs us there's a better way of living and instructs us what we need to do. Yes, by grace are we saved through faith. That not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. He goes on to tell those Christians, we are the workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Well then, who are the individuals who are saved by grace through faith? Those who are obedient unto God. Whose faith brought them to believe in the words of Christ in repentance and confession and yes, baptism. God's grace is a teaching grace, and to God be the glory for His grace. Without it, friends, all else is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock, there is the covenant. God says, I'm going to give you an agreement. Listen to how the Hebrew writer terms it. Hebrews 7, verse 22, there is a better covenant. In Hebrews 8, 6 through 13, in parallel of the Old Testament and the New, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, he says there is a new covenant that makes the first old. In Hebrews 9, verses 15 and 16, and for this reason he, Christ, is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. The testator Christ has died. His last will and testament left unto us, and those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Those who are called by the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. Friends, when you look throughout the Bible, covenants were always important to God, and He carried through exactly what He would say. And when we see the new covenant, what God has promised, He will carry through. But friends, a covenant does require you and I to carry through. When God has given us, through His covenant, through Jesus Christ, the testator, the mediator of the New Testament, and the New Testament of His blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins, Matthew 26, 28. When we accept what God has provided through the covenant, then we come to agreement with God. When we fail to do that, all else, friends, is sinking sand. If we fail, it is on us. So there's going to come a day. You know, there's a whole lot of talk about that eclipse tomorrow, is it not? There's a whole lot of talk. People want to see this eclipse, want to see that. I'm going to say it because I can say it. I'm not worried about the eclipse. What I want to see is Jesus coming back to take His redeemed home with Him. And if people will get more prepared for the return of the Lord as they do to see the eclipse, would this not be a better world? It would. I'd love to see people prepare to meet the Lord. But alas, there are going to be those who are not prepared. Friends, this should be our plea. I take us back to the hymn. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before his throne. How can that be? Well, friends, it's when on Christ, the solid rock, we stand, and all of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. When we're faced with the storms of life, let us be revived of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Let us be revived not only of that hope, but redeeming blood, righteous living, walking in His authority, thankful for His grace and the covenant of which we are redeemed. Tonight, dear friends, if you are standing on sinking sand, if you are sinking in a world of sin, we have explained tonight where your hope needs to be. As we said earlier, when an individual moves on his or her faith in Christ, will repent of their sins, change their decision and therefore direction, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and will be buried with Him in the waters of baptism for every sin to be washed away, Acts 22, verse 16. Then they take their stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ, and they are able to stand with Christ. They are redeemed. They are in Christ and in His church. If you have failed to do that, you've had yet to do that, this is your best opportunity tonight. It's your only opportunity. There may not be another. Don't mean to scare. Don't mean to alarm. It's reality and we need to accept it. This morning, dear brother, dear sister, we talked about returning back unto the Lord. If you need to return back unto the Lord, you've been away from the fellowship of the church. You need to return back unto Him. Or if the storms of life are weakening you and you need prayers and your brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever the case may be, if you need to place yourself upon the rock, Jesus Christ, and take your stand tonight, please come now as together we stand and while we sing.